Good morning, and as always, welcome. It is good to see everybody here. Normally at this point, I would say take out your Bible and follow along and test the things to make certain they are true. I don't particularly care for these particular sermons because that's not the case this morning. It's not. We're going to look at God's Word. Instead, we're going to look at God's creation, and we're going to consider it and its implications. And I feel much more comfortable studying God's Word because then it's about Him instead of about my thoughts. And so I'm going to do this lesson because we need to have faith in God. Our theme for the year is walk by faith. And we have looked at Luke 17, verse 5, in which the apostle said, increase our faith. And we live in a time in which faith is constantly under attack. And we're going to really look at this in three different ways through this series. And we're looking at the first part right now, and that is a faith that He is. Simply that there is a God is where we're going to start. And then we'll look from there, and we'll continue the series, Lord willing, in the coming weeks, and we'll look at which God is God, and then finally, is our interpretation of God's Word correct? And all of these things are intended for us to have a better confidence that we have a proper relationship with God and a proper understanding of God. For those of you who were not here last Sunday afternoon, we began this series last week, and last Sunday morning, the computer and I did not see eye to eye, and I wasn't able to do the lesson in the morning. Because of copyright issues, I can't really post that lesson online, so if you want to talk with me about it, I will happily go over the things that I talked about with you on a one-on-one basis. Just let me know. This lesson and the ones following should be available online. So why I believe in God? I believe the three most indisputable words in the Bible are the first three words. I don't know of anybody who can challenge the first three words. In the beginning. Now, we are going to have all sorts of differences and disputes and arguments about what happened after that. But no matter who you are, we look at the world and we understand something, that is, everything has a beginning. And that is crucial for my understanding that there is a God. I believe the most rational, reasonable thing to believe is that there is a God because there is a beginning. I'll look at that in two different ways. Oh, hey, I forgot my disclaimers. Completely forgot that. Let me put in some quick disclaimers before we get into my in the beginning comments. But first one is, I'm not a scientist. I want you to be aware of that. I'm not making any claims to be a scientist. I don't know everything, but don't be fooled. Neither do atheists, neither do scientists. Nobody knows everything, even if they pretend they do. And everybody has their reasons and their evidence. I want you to know, there's reasons why I believe in God, but don't be shocked if you talk to an atheist and find out they have reasons for believing what they believe. Or if you talk to an evolutionist and find out they have reasons for believing. Everybody has reasons. The question is, which one's more reasonable? When you take the big picture, everything into account, what's most reasonable to believe? And I would like to add one that I didn't put in last week and I meant to, and that is, I don't want you to get the wrong idea about science and say, okay, so Jared's getting up and what I'm doing is saying, Kristen and Sean, repent. They're scientists, by the way. I'm not saying that you guys need to repent. Science is fantastic. You know what science is? It's the exploration of God's creation. Science is understanding what God has done and some of how God has done it and learning how to manipulate it and use it, and it is fantastic. I don't want you to think science is bad. But science really, really goes wrong when it denies God and when it denies His power and His ability and His existence. And then they run into problems. So, back to the in the beginning comments. That was supposed to come up slowly. There you have the whole lesson. I'm done. All right. In the beginning, let's start off with life. If you see somebody, you know, everybody knows that person has parents. Right? And we could go back and we'd say we know that those parents had parents. Because we know life comes from life. We know that everything comes from something. And we have this rule that says everything living must come from something living. It's a rule. I mean, it's a law of physics. There was a time when it was believed that there was spontaneous generation. And so scientists were trying to establish this, and perhaps you go back to your schooling and remember when they were testing this with meat and various things on top of the meat to see if maggots just formed out of nothing. And you know what they figured out? And this was very helpful to us in preserving food now. They figured out life doesn't just happen. That was a rule. Life doesn't just happen. I happen to believe that. And so now you're given two choices. Everything must have a beginning, and so life must have a beginning, and either life came from non-life, or there is something, someone, that is eternal and all-powerful and can give life. Those are your two choices. Either things just broke the rules randomly, or there is a God who creates the rules, a God who created life. Those are your choices. You know what I find interesting? So we're told that life is precious and challenging, and you need everything to be just perfect for life to happen, right? I happen to know a place that's really good for life. We're in it. I know it's good for life because we have life everywhere. But you know what I don't see? I see a world that clearly can sustain life. But I don't see scientists running all over the place looking at everything to find life being created everywhere. Because even they know, life doesn't come from non-life. It's not happening right now. It's not happening here. But they tell us at one time it did. And to me, that is not the rational thing to believe. That is not the reasonable thing to believe. And then in the beginning, we just talked about life. Well, then in the beginning, the first cause. Now we look just not at life, but at things. So we see the mountains. And we know the mountains came from somewhere because everything comes from somewhere. Everything you see, you know it came from someplace. Every action you know has come as a result of some previous action. And so you're left with three choices. And you have to decide for yourself which is the most rational choice. And that is, everything has always existed. Which, by the way, I don't know anybody who believes because it breaks everything we know. Everything we know is something comes from something. It always is the case. So you either must believe that that's just not true and everything has always existed. Or you must believe that everything came from nothing spontaneously. Or you must believe that there is something that breaks the rules because it's more powerful than the rules. There is a God who has caused everything to happen. I mean, we're very solid on this. If something happens, something caused it to happen. I was going to be clever, and it turns out I'm not good at that. But I was going to have an object right here, and I was going to stand over here, and I was going to make that object move. Just randomly make it move. And I knew that everybody in here who noticed it would immediately start working on how did it happen. Now, of course, what you wouldn't know is that I had a piece of string, and of course what I had was rope, which would be pretty obvious. Oh, rope, okay, so he pulled it. But everybody knows if something's moving, something caused it to move. The universe is moving. The world is moving. Everything is moving. What caused it to move? If you believe in evolution, no, look, we're past evolution. By the way, evolution and Big Bang Theory, separate things. If you believe in the Big Bang Theory, the ultimate answer is, we don't know. As long as it's not God, we're okay with that answer, is really what it comes down to. But it's things just started moving on their own. I don't think that's rational. I don't think that's a reasonable explanation. And I don't think I have to be a great scientist to know that. And by the way, I don't think you had to be a really great scientist. If I had pulled off the amazing trick and had something there and made it move, I wouldn't think that everybody needs to be a scientist before they figured out, hey, something caused it to move. Something caused everything to exist. Now, you can believe that that was just completely, totally random. And that everything broke the rules and things just came into existence out of nothing by nothing. Or you can believe that everything came into existence because there is something that does break the rules. Someone that breaks the rules. And that is, of course, God. Third, as you obviously see on here, is the argument of the ordered universe. Have you ever been shamed for not believing in evolution because it's a theory. You know, we say, oh, it's a theory of evolution, and they say, gravity's a theory too. You ever had anybody say that to you? I've had people say that to me. They say, well, the theory of evolution is just like the theory of gravity. Anybody who ever does that to you, you can know a few things about them immediately. They're not scientists, or they're not honest. One of those two things. But they're really making it sound like if you doubt evolution, then you doubt that if I take this and drop it and let go, it's going to drop. That's totally, totally not true. There's two things to gravity. There's the law of gravity and the theory of gravity. When Newton was, according to myth, sitting underneath this tree and an apple falls down and hits him on the head, do you think he was the first person who came to this realization, hey, things fall? You think that was his realization? That wasn't the realization. That's not gravity. What he came up with was why things are falling. This idea that there's a purpose to it, there's something behind it, and now we have a formula, something that's testable, knowable. If you want to know it, I think I actually remember it. It is the force of gravity equals the gravitational constant times the mass of one object and the mass of a second object divided by the distance between them squared. There you go. Now you know it. It's a formula, right? Sean, I got it right. Yeah. But I'm not a scientist. Remember that. Basically, what it says is that two bodies are attracted to each other. That's the law of gravity. The theory is why. But if you have two bodies, they're going to be attracted to one another. And so we have this huge, huge body beneath us, this earth. And so there is gravity. And so if we take something and we drop it, it will fall at a constant rate. And if we go up to the moon and we are on the moon, now we're on a smaller body. And so we drop something on the moon, it still falls. But it falls slower because it's on a smaller body. This is not theory. This is law. The theory is, why does that happen? And that's not so much known. Theory of evolution is very much the same way. There are some parts of evolution that are just absolutely known. They're testable, reproducible. That is the fact that you can take some things and like we talked about before, you can take a Labrador retriever and you can take a beagle and you can put them together and predictably you get a big dog that howls. You get I know because I've had one, but we can predict that, we can control that, but the idea that we had something that wasn't a dog that became a dog, that we had something that wasn't life, that became more organized life, that's totally theory. That's not, if you let something go, it'll drop. That is why. And it's not known. But the law of gravity sure is interesting. The world is undeniably ordered. And everybody knows it and relies on it. Scientists know it and they rely on it. Everything they predict is because the world is ordered. Now, if you did talk to Sean and you looked at things, once you get down to a quantum level, things get complicated. But we still know it's ordered. We're just trying to find it. We're trying to understand it. But everything is ordered. I want to ask you, how does order happen? How is it that we can reproduce, predict, know, and consistently get the exact same result if there is nothing that makes the laws and enforces the laws? That's why I believe in God. Because I believe in sports, and I believe in walking, and I believe in eating, and I believe in everything else because I believe there is an order to things, and therefore there must have been something that ordered it, that made it happen. And then fourth is exactly the exact same argument, only now in regards to morals. I'll put this in two different ways, but it really comes down to a different side of things. But our morals are contrary to the evolutionary process. Do you believe that we, the strong, should protect the weak and the sick? And pretty much everybody does. But what's the theory of evolution? Survival of the fittest. Our morals kind of go contrary to that. We are the fittest, take care of the weakest. Who might hold us back? They might make our lives more complicated, more difficult. They might make it our resources being expended. We spend an awful lot of money on keeping our elderly healthy. Wouldn't it just be simpler? Wouldn't we be a stronger society if we just let them off? Go on into the forest. Just walk away. But you and I all have this moral code that says, no, that's not right. We all have that moral code, and it doesn't always fit the evolutionary process. And evolution has a really, really, really hard time explaining what morals are, where they came from, and even why they exist. But here's the big thing. You know how sometimes people say, I don't want to become a Christian because they're all hypocrites? That's the argument I'm going to use right here. Everybody who believes in this idea of evolution or atheism or this idea that things have just come into being, every single one I have met still believes in right and wrong. Every single person I have met believes in right and wrong. And those things do not exist if we came about randomly. Now, you might say that we experience those things through an evolutionary process. Okay, so we might feel like something is right and wrong, but ultimately, if you get right down to it, there is no moral code, there is no right and wrong, if there is no greater power to enforce it, to declare it, to make it so. And we look into the animal kingdom, and they don't really have morals. We oddly do. And I look at people that tell me that we came from single-celled organisms, that we have no real purpose, our existence is just an incredible coincidence, incredible luck. And then they will tell me about how somebody's doing something wrong. They will watch the news and they will see somebody commit a terrible crime of violence, and they will say, that is wrong. Or, and here's great hypocrisy, they will look at racism and say, that's wrong. Consider our founding documents. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. If we held to evolution, that's not true on two levels. One, we weren't created. And two, we're not equal. I'm better than most of you. Some of you are better than me. Some of you are. I have to admit it. But I know I'm better than you because I've seen the map, right, that shows the human evolution, the progression. And it starts off with things that are like this, right? And then they start going like this, and they go like this. If you stand up next to me and you're like here, I'm better than you. I have evolved better. But if we really believe in evolution, are we not really believing that there are some of us that are more evolved than others? And therefore, we should say some of us are better than others. And we should try to do this idea of let us take the Jews and annihilate them because they are not as good as us. They are a threat to our race. But they don't say that. No, they say we're all created equal. Well, they won't say created, but we're not all equal if evolution is true. And I don't hear them saying that. And so you know what? The bottom line is they're all hypocrites. They say one thing, but their practice is something different. But that's not the real argument. It really comes down to this. It comes down to you. Do you not just feel, but do you believe there is such a thing as good and evil? Do you believe there is such a thing as right and wrong? Because if you do, welcome to theism. You may not have fully comprehended its implications. You may not have thought about the end conclusion of it. But if you believe that there's a right and a wrong, there is something that has created morals. There is something that enforces morals and something we should follow. Now, I want to do something I did the same as last time. I'm going to do a little bit differently. But once you come to this conclusion, once we rationally consider the evidence, and we're not looking at the small little evidence of science, we're looking at the big picture, just the big concepts. Can life come from non-life? Can things come from nothing? If there are laws, must there be a lawmaker, something that enforces it, makes it true everywhere and all the time? And if there are morals, must there be a moral maker? If we look at those things and we come to the conclusion there is a God, it changes everything. It changes everything, the way that we look at things. I want to give you an illustration of this. And now let's just open our minds, and that's not going to be very hard for all of you here. Let's open our minds and consider the possibility that there is a God and what he could do then. So we have, this is my great illustration, of the sun and the earth. And we have this constant. It is the speed of light, right? The speed of light goes at this speed. And so light leaves the sun and it comes to earth. You know how long it takes for it to do that? About 8 minutes, which when you think about how far away the sun is from the earth, it is going really, 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 really fast. But we look at the sun. That light that you see was at the sun 8 minutes ago. Boom, gets here. Okay. Where's the next nearest star? Some of you may know this, but we're looking at the Centauri stars, Alpha Centauri, Proxima Centauri. There's about three of them in a pretty close proximity. So we're going to put them way over here. This is not remotely close to scale size-wise or distance-wise, but it's going to get across the idea. So we need this light to get over here. When God created the earth, as we see in Genesis chapter 1, one of the things he creates is the stars. In Genesis chapter 1, let me see, which verse was that? That was verse 16. Just verse 16, it throws in, he creates the stars. And it tells us that these things were created for seasons, right? What did Adam and Eve see when they looked up the first day? And the second day, and the third day, and the fourth day, and for the first 4 years, what did they see when they looked up? Because if God just created everything and just let it be, he creates this star over here, and the light starts coming, but when the earth is created and Adam and Eve are created, they look up and they can't see that star because the light hasn't reached it yet. The light's going really fast, but it hasn't gotten there yet. That light is going to take 4 years for it to get there. And so what that means is that Adam and Eve, when they looked up, for the first 4 years, they saw the moon, a few planets, and complete darkness. Complete darkness. You've never seen anything like it. Do you believe that? Now, if we say there's a God, can't we change that just a little bit? Can't we, if God can create this star, can he create that line? Can't he create that light? So that when Adam and Eve, on the first day that they looked up at night, saw not just the moon and the planets, but saw the stars, the light had already reached there. Couldn't God do that? That changes everything. Because the furthest star that you can see, it's not technically a star, it's a galaxy, but from the naked eye, you can go up and you can see the Andromeda galaxy. And that is 2.25 million light years from here. According to scientists, that's what they tell us, and I'm just going to take them at their word for it. Light just kind of goes, right? It's measurable. You know what that means? If we are reading the scriptures correctly, and if we understand this correctly, when you go and you see the Andromeda galaxy, you are seeing light that's never actually been to the Andromeda galaxy. Or God changed the speed of light. Those are kind of your options. So when God created it, it's only had, let's say, 15,000 years. Let's just be really generous here according to the scriptures. 15,000 years, if I'm going to scale, it's right about there. That's 2.25 million light years that it has to go otherwise. Do you understand what I'm saying? It means that God, in his great power, can change things in such a way that really messes up our ability to measure time,
and events of the past. It means that we look and we see the Andromeda Galaxy light, and that is not proof and it is not evidence that everything has existed for 2.25 million years. It merely tells us God did something. When did he do it? How did he do it? That's what Job was about. We had read for us this morning Job 38. This is where Job is really challenging God. I mean, he's challenged himself. Why is all this stuff happening? I wish that God was here and I would tell him that he's made a mistake. And then God shows up and God says, "Where were you, Job? Where were you when I did everything?" And that's kind of my question to the scientists and to the atheists. And that's, you think you guys have it all figured out, but where were you? God was there, and he can tell us how he did it, and when he did it, and where he did it, and we can listen to him, or we can ignore him, but we're ignoring the evidence. His word is part of the evidence. That's just a fascinating concept to me, that we're looking at light that theoretically never even has been to the star that it represents. I believe the star's there, because what did it say in Genesis 1? It said God created the stars. The star's there. And I could be wrong, because I'm just telling you one way God could have done it. God, could, of course, can do it in a whole bunch of different ways, but one of the ways is God could have made the speed of light go infinitely faster. Whoop, there's the light. And he could have done that. But our measurements today would be wrong every single time. So, when you believe there's a God, you can throw all the evidence you want at me at that point. I'm not so sure you're making the right conclusions about the evidence. I sat through, when I was first becoming a preacher, I sat through this lesson in which a preacher who had come to believe in the old earth, he threw evidence after evidence after evidence of the earth being really, really old. And I was looking at him saying, "So what? If God says this is how he did it, this is how he did it." And as soon as you enter into the picture that there is a God who is all-powerful and can create something out of nothing, life out of non-life, who can create light wherever he wants, whenever he wants, can make things however he wants, it makes all the evidence less confident. We can't be as confident in our conclusions on it. And we have to rely on God for the answers. So, again, last week, this week, take those things together. I believe that God is the most rational thing to believe. You know, sometimes people mock that, right? And you see that, "I believe in the spaghetti monster." You ever seen the spaghetti monster thing? That's where people are mocking you for saying, "You believe in a God. I believe in a spaghetti monster." May I suggest to you that it is more rational to believe in their spaghetti monster than in what they actually believe? It is more rational to believe in this crazy idea of something that nobody's ever seen or experienced that has the ability to create life out of non-life than to believe that something broke every rule we know without any power. Maybe it was the spaghetti monster. That's the next step. I believe there's a God or gods, and now we have to figure out which one. You have the Hindus believing what they believe, and you have all these other religions that believe what they believe, and we have to go to the next step and say, okay, the most rational thing is to believe that we came from something, we came from a God. Which one is it? That's, Lord willing, what we'll start next week. I appreciate your time and your attention. I hope that you'll consider these things, and really my goal with it is to do exactly what the apostles wanted and what we should want, and that is increase our faith. As the world tells us it's ridiculous to believe in God, I believe the evidence suggests it's ridiculous to believe otherwise. And I hope that we will have stronger faith for it. If there are any here who are not Christians, ultimately that's where we're headed, right? I don't want to shock you, but I'm going to tell you that the evidence points to God. And I'm going to tell you that the evidence points to our interpretation of the Scriptures. I don't want to shock you with the ending, but if you believe those things, if you've already looked at this and you realize that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you want to follow him, he's told us what to do. He sent his apostles to tell us what to do. And you only need to look at the few scriptures to see it. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. You can see these things. And it is, you need to repent, confess, and be baptized into Jesus. If you believe in him, take those actions now. Act on your faith. If you're a Christian and you have fallen away, or you are struggling with various problems in your life, we encourage you to come forward. We will pray for you. God forgives sins, and we will support you and encourage you as best we can. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
Sweet are the promises, kind is the word.